The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
April 2020, Parshas Achrimus Kedoshim. Start the day the Torah way. Sponsored, L'Refuas Chaim Eliyahu Ben Esther Ethel. And Leo Zeid Rappaport, the topic is drawing. So, When he wanted to interrogate, he wanted to question the witnesses who came to testify about the new month, so on his wall he had a tablet in his upper chamber in his first floor lock, and it had shapes of the moon on it. And he used to show them and say, what did the moon look like? Whatever you thought, you see the moon, it looked like this, it looked like this. So you had this picture on the wall with the pictures of various sizes of the moon. So the man asked the question, well, I said, is this permitted? The prophet said, lo yisasun tiki, that you shouldn't make with me, a lot of chesed, and a result, but that's a lot. You shouldn't make up a lot. Now, from the note on this process, the constellation, the markings on the process, is in a snapshot. It's a primary dividing mark, lo yisasun tiki, comma, implying that yisasun tiki is red in the tendency. But about dashin, lo yisasun oisi, that you should not make things that stand with me in the heavens, i.e., you're not allowed to create copies, images of any celestial body, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So how could the Gamliel make this ball which has images of the moon in various different sizes? Then, the Gemara, one of the answers, the Gemara answers, is that Shani has a Gamliel that has him optimal. Gamliel didn't make it himself. Others made it for him. He had a non-Jew make it for him. So answer the demand. That Tosfos, the Rosh Hashanah, says, based on this, that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to make a forbidden image. If it's for the sake of the mitzvah, Kiddush HaChodesh means Amir al-Nochri, Mutal HaTorah mitzvah. There's an apparent contradiction in Tosfos. Says that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to bring a knife to whom you should have in order to perform the mitzvah of the Tzvina on Shabbos. Why? Because Anir al-Nochri is also even a Tzvina mitzvah in order to ask him to do an Isur De'oraita on Shabbos. So is Anir al-Nochri mutar the Tzvina mitzvah or not? Is Anir al-Nochri on Isur De'oraita mutar the Tzvina mitzvah or not? Seems to be an apparent contradiction in so the answer to this is much more Rambam. Rambam writes in his shop. Also, no man is not allowed to come the lot of the shop. Not allowed to ask the jury and non Jew to do a lot of the on Shabbos. The dollars are often the same. Why can't you do it? They shall see a Shabbos calendar in London. So that Shabbos shouldn't be treated lightly in our eyes. And the whole last is to ask them. If I were to ask a non-Jew to do a melacha, then Chas v'Shalom could end up doing it myself. What do we see over here? We see from Moshe Rabbeinu that the story of Amir al-Nochri is based on a gezeira that the person who asks a non-Jew to do the melacha of the melacha, he may end up doing it himself. There is a raya to this. In the modern government, the modern we see after the following shining boy of it. He'll amazing, do you learn Amir al-Nochri from Shabbos across the board by all other Isurim Deraita, by all the 613, or not? Do we say Amir al-Nochri only forbidden regarding Shabbos because it's a very severe instance to see on Shabbos? But other Isurim, which is only allowed, for example, the fact that we show the Yishuv has to be a non-Yalah, therefore we can learn from Shabbos. They're here. You see over here that the Gemara is very happy to compare between Shabbos to other things. The idea being that if it's a Vahiri or not, it's in danger, you may come to do the Gemara yourself. And tomorrow only the second, maybe the Gemara is more common than it's all that. So we see that the Gemara of Amir and Nochi is based on the fact that we're exalted, we're choishes, that the person on the ark will know who to do any malachah to him, any avayasim, any gittul, then we may come to do himself. And that's a generic Gemara across the board of Kosharat and Yisrael. However, if you look in Rashi, Shmoy says the base of the same time. Rashi comes in the Chilta. The Mechilta says that it's regarding Shabbat. Call the Lotha Loye Ose, Loye Ose. A fish taking pocket. Call the Lotha Loye Ose. Says the Mechilta, Loye Ose implies, it is done even by Abba, that's your idea. Seems to be from the Mechilta. And even though this is an Akhmachta, well, it's the right, it's an Akhmachta, I mean, you're not going to get up on all. But what we see from here is an Akhmachta that it is a specific Yisur, Melocha by Shabbat, which is specifically about Shabbat, that one cannot ask the long Jew to do a Melocha on Shabbat. And what we see over here is that the Yisur Melocha, specifically an Yisur Melocha. Specifically an Yisur Melocha. Is it clear now? So what we see over here is that there is specifically an Yisur Melocha of Shabbat, Melech Shabbat, asking a non-Jew to do a Melocha. So we see there's two types of Amir al-Anochi. One of them is a general Yisur Amir al-Anochi b'chol ha-Tayr kula. And we have a second type of Yisur Melocha of Amir al-Anochi, which is specifically to Shabbat. Based on this, what we say is that there is a fundamental difference between asking a non-Jew to draw a forbidden image and asking a non-Jew to bring a knife through Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat to do the mitzvah Amira. When it comes to Amira l'Nochri regarding Kol HaTorah Kulo, regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, asking to do a forbidden, to draw a forbidden image, to draw the moon, then we say the Tzorich Mitzvah Smuta. Why is that? Because if there is a gzeira, it's a gzeira that a person may come to do it himself. If it's a Tzorich Mitzvah, Chazal won't go there. Nasha Ein Kein, when it comes to asking a non-Jew to bring a knife, there is really the Gabbah Shabbat. The Gabbah Shabbat is an Isur Melocha. Melocha cannot be done on Shabbat, even if it's through a non-Jew, and therefore even a Tzorich Mitzvah, it would be awful. So now, let's speak out some practical halachas regarding the issur of creating, forming, drawing forbidden images. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says the reason why the Torah forbids a person to make a forbidden image. Don't make forbidden images of those that stand with me in the heavens, the stars, the moon, the sun. Says the Rambam. The reason is because we don't want people to attribute divine powers and then to end up worshipping the sun, the moon, and the stars as Avodah Zarah. So it's offered to make these images. Now, how do you define making an image? So the Rishonim differentiate three different types of images. An image which is three-dimensional, protruding. An image which is depressed, which is carved into a substance. And flat images, two-dimensional painting or drawing on a flat surface. Some Rishonim say that the Isser only applies to raised images, to three-dimensional images. However, depressed images or flat images would be fine because they are not a true representation of any celestial body of the star and the moon. Shulchan Aruch says, and Shulchan Aruch passes like the majority of the Rishonim, that the Isser of drawing, creating forbidden images applies as much to depressed or flat images as to a protruding image. There is a minority opinion that differentiates between a depressed image and a flat image. They say a flat image doesn't represent any
any real image, and therefore it's okay. But the majority of poskim passing after Shulchan Aruch that a depressed or flat image is taka osur. So come along the contemporary poskim, and they debate what about taking a photograph of the sun, of the moon. Some of them taka rule stringently, and they won't allow. They say you're not allowed to take a photo of the sun, of the moon, the stars. Whereas others are makil, especially seeing now. This is not so much for our day, but where photos were developed. So photos were developed, and generally, who developed the photos? A non-Jew, because the photos were developed by a non-Jew. Therefore, they were makil. Important to point out that the idea of making a forbidden image is only where you actually wanted to represent the sun, the moon, the stars, the celestial body, the celestial image. But if the intent, for example, you want to draw the sky with stars on the roof, on the ceiling, that would be forbidden. But, and so too, even though a star isn't really round, but because to us it appears like a star with corners on, with sharp edges on, therefore that represents the star and that would be forbidden to draw and to create. However, if you're not doing it in order to represent the sun, for example, you want to draw a mug and dog, you want to make a moon biscuit, you want to give a child a star on a star chart on homework, that's fine because you're not trying to represent the celestial body. The question is the Issur, does the Issur only apply if you draw, if you create an image of the full celestial body, the full moon, the full star, the full sun, or only partial? So here the poskim can say that if you only draw a partial image, then it would be okay. Therefore, if you draw part of the sun, if you draw the sun without its rays, that would be fine. What about part of the moon? Here we have a machlokes. Some say, seeing as to us, we see throughout the month only part of the moon, therefore that would also be awesome. Others say, no, as long as you're only drawing part of the moon, that's okay. As long as you're only creating an image of part of the moon, that's okay. Some permit, some ask. What about drawing the sun partially obscured by clouds? But some say it's fine because you're only creating part of the image, whereas others say it would be forbidden because to us, that's how the sun...
Kol Halashon.
Sometimes it is. The another heter we have is when one is creating the image for instructional purposes. The halacha. So the question is how far this permit goes. Some poskim say that this leniency applies only if you're actually going to use these images for practical halachic purposes. For example, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel needed to interrogate, he needed to question the witnesses who came to testify about the month. So it was a practical halachic ramifications he created. You have these images, and therefore one would be allowed to make it. Other poets can say no, that you're allowed to create these images for any teaching purpose whatsoever, even to understand Pashas Bereishis Lamoshel, which is why children come home with the stars, with the Yosef stream. So of course, if it's coming for instructional purposes, even though it doesn't have necessary practical ramification. The Gemara, the Chachamim, Rabbonon extended the Issur of creating forbidden images, and they also forbade keeping such images in one's house. Why is that? Because of chashad, suspicion. Because if a person keeps such images which are forbidden in his house, he may come and end up worshipping that image. And the question therefore arises, is one allowed to have pictures or images of humans in one's house? But some say that the reason we are concerned is the chashad is because you may come to bow down to it. Others say the concern is that you'll be suspected of actually creating these images yourself. Based on this, there are folks who say that today, where nobody serves human beings as a deity, and therefore, there's no chashad, there's no problem of keeping images in one's house. They're taking the Chochmah Sodom, the Dalkei Tshuva. So one thing is clear, you can't sculpture a complete person. Why? Because that's protruding and you do it yourself. What about a human, making a picture of a human that doesn't protrude? Here, the Shulchan Aruch, the Shteken Ben Ishai, that it's fine. Other places can disagree. They say you can't make an image of any person, even if it does not protrude. As they state in Taz, as they state in Shitnas Yagat, which is why some people, some poiskim, some tzaddikim, some goyim were very particular not to have their photograph taken. A partial image, for example, on a coin, you have a partial image of the queen. Says the Shah, that it only applies to a complete image of a human being. Half an image, partial image, head of a coin, that would be fine. Or a person lying on his side where you can only see one hand, one eye, that would be fine. But the Yaakov Emden was makpid even on that. Therefore, there were poiskim who were very particular not to take pictures. Maram Sheik, Yisrael Makir, Baki Tshuva, they bring down. The Isser of taking, can't take photographs. And Taka people are careful, not some people are careful. Most people are not particular. Again, what would be the reason not to be makpid on taking photos? So, one reason, Chachmas Sodom says, is because today we don't worship humans, as we said. Because we don't worship humans, it wouldn't be a problem. Another reason is because, generally speaking, who would develop the photo? A non-Jew. Because a non-Jew would develop the photo, therefore, it would be okay. The minhag is today that most people are lenient. I would venture to suggest that a digital photo is much better than a photo that is actually going to be developed into an actual picture. Video, even poskim or makpid, not to have photos taken of human beings, so they are makil on taking video. Now, there is a place here called Madame Tussauds where they have wax figures. Those figures, those images which are protruding, are 3D, they're made by non-Jews. Therefore, there are people who go to Madame Tussauds, not a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, the Pashtus, there is such a museum with wax figures, wax sculptures, and the Pashtus are made by Yidden. Because they're made by Yidden, then it would be a problem they shouldn't be making. Going to such a place would be supporting the issue of making forbidden images. What about dolls? The dolls, the Chayyim were more makpid because it's a protruding image. Therefore, it should be awesome. However, Al Pi Din, you're allowed to have dolls in the house, especially dolls that babies or children play with, because no one is going to suspect that a person is worshipping a doll. Besides that, dolls are commercially manufactured, and therefore nobody is going to suspect that you made it at home. The third reason is that dolls are thrown around by children, they're placed on the floor, nobody is going to suspect that it's being used for other dishonor. The nafka minna would be if the doll is not a doll that children are playing with, but a figure that one puts on the mantelpiece that's especially created as a doll. Such a doll, there is mokum to be machmir on, and therefore, poskim say you should somehow deface part of that image. There's actually a maaser that's all brought down about the Tzadim Arog. His wife had to go for surgery. Day before surgery, he was walking in the house and he noticed there was an image, a doll, on the table. He told his wife to break off the limb of the doll. She did so, and then he said to her, "You don't need the operation." One final nekuda is a game. You can guess it's called a potato head. A potato head, not a problem in creating a potato head and putting the pieces together, but it doesn't form, it's not considered the real features of a human being, and therefore that would be to me. To finish off a few minutes with a little bit of Divrei Drush today, is the Yosef of the Yid, not sure if he was well known, if he is that well known. The days of Yosef of the Yid, his name was Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kulnitzer. Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kulnitzer was the Rav, was the Abed in the Rav of Krakow. This was in his heyday. He was nifted in Tofesh Tzadik Gimel, 1933, just after the Nazis in Lachshimon came to power. He was nifted then. He was an unbelievable Yid. And he says over the following vault, why do I say this vault now, aside the fact that it is your side? Is because, unfortunately, whenever the world suffers any Torah, so it gives rise to anti-Semitism. And we hear it today, and we see it today, where Jews are being blamed for spreading the virus, and we have to be extremely, extremely careful, aside from the fact that we have to keep to every single government guideline of isolation because of this gezeira. And aside from the fact that we have to be more machmir than the government guidelines because we're so particularly about protecting our own lives and protecting our elders' lives and vulnerable people's lives. Therefore, we have to be particular. But there's an added element. That added element is causing Chilul Hashem. In fact, there's a letter that came out, signed by Shlomi Miller from a great poskim in America. He lives in Toronto. And he writes that we have to be so particular now about creating a Chilul Hashem regarding the government guidelines, the guidelines, health guidelines, because if we create a Chilul Hashem, that will cause anti-Semitism, and subconsciously, Yidden in hospitals will not be treated with the same stringency and with the same particular as they treat others. So we could inadvertently be risking lives by causing a Chilul Hashem. But unfortunately, anti-Semitism is there. The Yosef of Nechemiah Kunis, though, this was just before he was Nifta. About a week and a half before he was Nifta, this was Shvi'ish of Pesach, Tofresh Tag Gimel, 1933. And he spoke, and he said the following, there was already anti-Semitism because of the Nazis, he said the following. He said, speaking about Klal Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shem speaks about Klal Yisrael, that we were bereft, we were unclothed from mitzvah. That's why Hashem gave us the mitzvah. I saw you, Klal Yisrael, were wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, b'domayichayi, you will live through your blood, you will live through your blood. And we know Chazal Dash, and this refers to the two bloods, Damida Dam Pesach, the two mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. The Yosef of Nechemiah, the Rav of Krakow, he dashed as follows. He said, Pshat in the Pesach like this. He says, there were times in history when there was anti-Semitism because we looked like Jews, we acted like Jews, we behaved like Jews. We kept Taliyad mitzvahs, and therefore there was Gefelech anti-Semitism. That was an anti, they hated us because there was a sinner, because of our religion. But what happens when Yidden are not keeping Torah mitzvahs, when they're bereft of Torah mitzvahs, when they are unclothed, they're naked from Torah mitzvahs, they're at Eirun the area, in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, on the Mem Tet Shari Tumah. They weren't acting like Yidden, they weren't behaving like Yidden, Mem Tet Shari Tumah. So why was there anti-Semitism then? The reason there was anti-Semitism then was because there was Yiddish blood that was surging through our veins. That's why. Because we were Yidden. So even though at Eirun Ve'erio, we were naked, bereft of mitzvahs, Shodayim Nechoinus Orech Semeach, our dress mode was unsneezik. Oh, but because the Rebbeinu Shem saw She'erech Misboisetes B'demoyer, because the Rebbeinu Shem saw We were misbeisetach, wallowing in our blood means that we had Jewish blood surging through our veins. The oymalos, the Rebbeinu Shem said, the domayich chayi. I will make you survive because of the very fact that you are Yidden. And he says that there are those, the Yimach Shemom, the Nazis, that they think that they're experts in knowing whose blood is bluer, who has better blood, the Aryan or the race. And he says, they say, ki doyresh domim, Oysom Zohar, he says that we say that the true Doyrish Toman, the true one who knows what blood is Heiliger blood, he will remember us. He will not forget the outcries of Anovim, of those who are humbled by the fact that they are bereft of mitzvah. As they were Gedarshan, the Yosef Nechemiah Kunis, a week and a half before you were near Hashem, we are living in difficult times now. And even though we are isolated from each other, but we are close, we're ki'ish echad b'leiv echad, we are together, united, because the Rebbeinu Shalom united together, the Torah united together. And we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom shouldn't forget the outcry of the remnants of Klal Yisrael. And Emir Hashem, we should bring about the Gula Shleima, the Korov, the Meher of Yomeinu, Amen, Amen.
The shir you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.